Repeat after me. I receive it.
Because I believe it.
And it's all good.
I believe it.
Because I receive it.
And it's all good.
Baby, baby. Ryan, did you say that part? Let's pray really quickly. God, we believe that there is power in the simplest of prayers. So God, we just tell you that we love you. We invite you in. Do as you'd like. All of you and none of me, Lord. Amen. Hey, everybody. So the last time I spoke at LMCC, it was an honor and a privilege, just like it is tonight. And I mentioned something very personal to me. No, not that thing. I'm talking about getting revenge on Ryan. And I mentioned that I was kicking off this year-long plan to settle the score. And what happened after I said that is that a lot of people started coming up to me and saying, you know what, I want to get revenge on Ryan too. I've been thinking about it. But given that Ryan gave me the opportunity to speak to you tonight, which is by far the most meaningful, most important thing I have ever done in my life, I think it is only fair for me to abandon that plan and let it go, and let it go for good. But first, there is something that I want to show you. I reached out to some people close to Ryan and said, I want to get revenge on him. And they said, great, we would love to help you. They were very eager to do it. And so I just want to show you one thing from the dossier that I was building on him. This comes from Ryan's own family. Angel, will you please? Oh, maybe this is the Lord. Oh, there it is. It's baby Ryan. If Sherry Lewis, the woman that holds that puppet Lamb Chop, and Ed Norton had a baby, this is what it would look like. So sweet. Okay, we're done. That's it. Thank you, Angel. All right. Tonight we're going to jump into some really good stuff, but first, very quickly, I have to give honor to where honor is due. I listened to so many different sermons and so many different people poured into me in preparation for tonight. I listened to folks from Charles Stanley to T.D. Jakes to Robert Morris. I listened to Logan, who was taking the time after really busy days to send me emails and to keep building into me. I listened to John Kim. John, where are you? Are you in here? Okay, praise God. I listened to John Kim, who told me, hey, come and study the Bible with me for 1 year. That was 2 years ago now at this point, but it's fine because it's been powerful and meaningful for me. But there's someone in here who's poured into me more than anyone else, and that person is Dane Austin. Every great person in the Bible has like a mentor or a prophet or a guide or a spiritual parent, and I have all of those in one in Dane. And Dane, I don't know where you are, but I just want to tell you that I love you, and I love your wife, who is the real MVP, the hero in the shadows. And thank you, not only for what you do for me, but for what you do for everyone here. So here we go. If you have a pen and paper, please take it out. I want you to take some notes because we do have to go back to New York. And when the retreat is over, I want you to dive into these scriptures and I want you to continue pushing in here so that you continue to get something out of it. Let me just say that by the end of tonight, I definitely will not be the only person up here. So I want you to sit in your seats and let the fire of God just start to heat you up real good so that you're ready by the time we get to the end of this sermon. Tonight, we are going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Angel, if you'd pull that up, please. Tonight, what's going to happen is we're going to reset. We're going to rewire, right? Last night, we let go of a lot of stuff. Tonight, we're going to take hold of something new. The original title of this message was called Cut the Malarkey, Susan. But then I thought, well, what if somebody's named Susan, and what if she takes offense to that? So I changed the title to Powerful Transformation and Renewing the Mind. I'm sorry, Angel, I know I jumped a slide. We're going to do this in three parts tonight, talking about powerful transformation and renewing the mind. We're doing it in three parts more so that I stay on track and don't get too excited. First part is going to be, where do we get the power to transform our minds? The second part will be, why do we need to renew our minds? And the third part will be, how do we renew our minds? So here we go. Part one, where does our power come from? So let's have this scripture read. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. I'd like all of us to say that together, but when you get to you, I'd like you to say me, because this is for you. So ready? Here we go. This is the word that conceived the new life in me. Great. What a God we have, the scripture says. 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. And Hebrews 12:29 tells us that God is an all-consuming fire. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything. He made everything that we see around us and everything that we don't. He gave it all to us. And despite having everything that we would ever need, we fell into sin. And we were left with a broken, chaotic world that needed to be saved from itself. So enter Jesus. Enter Jesus, who was not created. He always was. He always existed with God. Into our world, a perfect reflection of God, a perfect mediator between God and us. He is the Word. If you took the Bible and you put it in a blender and stirred it up and baked it into a person. That is Jesus. And he came here and he dwelt with his people. He died when he was 33. Some people say closer to 36, 33, 36. So young. And he died such a horrible, horrible death. So gruesome. Hung on a cross. And it should have been you up there. Or me. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. He who knew no sin was made sin for you. God took every wrong, all of mankind's errors, placed them on an innocent person who then hung in your place, achieving through that one act what could have never been accomplished any other way, eternal life with God. He reconciled us back to our Father. And then he died. And then he rose. And he's alive. And he is coming back. He's coming back. And when he does, some people are going to be in trouble. But not you. While we wait for him, it is our responsibility to clothe ourselves in him. While we wait for him, it is our responsibility to read his message. And sometimes we avoid reading his message because listening to Jesus preach, it really never gives you reassurance. You never read his words and then feel totally or 100% comforted, like you already have it all together. You know why? Because he's always calling for more faith or more awakening or more humility or more commitment. Drop your nets. Follow me. And as you read about him moving through those small towns in the Bible, you see that he's met over and over again by people who are always so sure about their place in the kingdom of God. People who always think it's other people that have the problem. But his words, like all truth, start to expose our own self-righteous attitudes, and they expose the places in our own lives where we need correction. His words are not meant to comfort you. His preaching does not reassure you that you're on the right track and then all you need to do is tweak it a little bit here or there. His preaching reinforces just how much you need a Savior. And as you let him preach to you, he's preaching the true revelation of the law of God. You understand that he does not preach as he does to get us to amend some behavior. He preaches as he does to point us to the cross. And then you have Paul. And then Paul comes behind Jesus all those years later, and he says the same thing, which is that you cannot earn your salvation. When he's talking to the Jews, he says, hey, it's not going to be your understanding of the law or even your heritage that is going to qualify you. When he's talking to the Gentiles, he tells them it's not going to be your works and your service that's going to qualify you. It is only going to be God's gift to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what allows us to stand before the throne. It's not your performance that makes you righteous. It's your position. And it's a position of total surrender and total dependence on Christ. When you believe that, when you believed that, you receive new supernatural life on the inside. You become born again. Your spiritual life is awakened. By faith, you are baptized into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is deposited on the inside of you. Now, the degree to which God and Jesus Christ dwell in us depends on the degree to which we follow the internal leading of God's Spirit and use His power to actually become like God and Jesus Christ in nature, in character, spirit, attitudes, approach, and above all else, love. You ready for part two? So why do we need to renew our minds? We've established where the power to do so comes from, but why do we need to do it? So for that answer, we are going to look at John 10:10. Angel, would you please? Now, John 10:10, this is a very famous scripture. Most of you probably knew what it was even before it came up. Let's go ahead and read it together. Ready? Read. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Who's talking here? Jesus. The thief, there is a thief. We've gone over that. There's a thief, so be alert and be sober. He's only here to steal and kill and destroy. Those are his only hobbies because he is a sick, sad loser. But Jesus is here for a much different reason. Jesus is here to give you abundant life. Now, life there in the Greek is not bios, life as we think of it. Life there is translated zoe, or God life. So when Jesus says, I came to give you abundant life, he's not talking about a heartbeat or a pulse, because obviously you are already alive. He's talking about zoe, God life, in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. Not just enough to get by, not just enough to get through your next work project, in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. But there's a key to getting this life of God, this zoe, and it has two parts to it. Now, being born again is only one half of what is necessary to enjoy the life of God. And you already have the first part. You already have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit versus the outer dwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to later on. But you have the first part, and that's what we're focused on right now. But again, that's only one half. The second part of what it takes to fully enjoy God life is being spiritually minded, or what we call having a spiritual mind, which means your mind needs to be renewed. Now, if you were raised anywhere near a church or you were raised in the church, then you have been taught that we were all created in God's image, okay? We've all heard that before. But how can Charles and Dan Carpenter and Jason Lee and my husband and me, how could all of us have been created in God's image when we all look so drastically different? Different races, different sizes. As far as I know, none of them have to wear Spanx. Completely, completely different. Now, I don't think some of these, I mean, I think some of our questions, they don't get answered until we get to heaven. So maybe like God is like an X-Men, you know, and he does really look like all of us. But I think what we should be focusing on is that what's meant by that statement has nothing to do with the outer image at all. And it's funny because I think so many people, including myself, you have questions like that, but instead of asking them, you push them deep down, and then you say things like, oh, well, the Bible's not meant to be taken literally anyhow. That's a silly question. It's not a silly question. That's why we're all in community together, because iron sharpens iron, baby. So, like I said, could it be that what was meant by that statement has nothing to do with God's outer image or our outer image? In John 4:24, it says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He has three parts. He's a spiritual being, and he has three parts. So if God is a spiritual being in three parts, isn't it likely we're also spiritual beings, and we also have three parts? Yep, that's where we're going. Spirit, soul, and body. And I get this. I'm going to go slow so I don't get too excited. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You're not just a person, and that's all there is to you. You are a spirit. You live inside of a body, and you possess a soul. Your body is what we call your earth suit, or what the Bible calls a house, right? It's a house now for your spirit or for God's spirit as well. Without your body, you can't be here. We live in a physical realm. You're going to need something physical in order to interact with the things that you have around you. And so as long as my body is healthy, then I can remain here and I can be with my family and my friends. Once my body no longer works, I'm out of here. But this body is not me. I am the spirit inside of this body. It is a house for the real me that none of us have ever seen, including myself. So we're spirits, we live inside of a body, and we possess a soul. It's amazing how many times we think about the soul or we sing about the soul, and then we don't really dive into what it is or why it's different from our spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions, it's your heart, it's your conscience, what a lot of people sum up as your personality. It's comprised of all of those things, but for tonight, I'm going to shorten it to just mind, will, and emotions, or what some people like to call your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler. The makeup of who you are on the inside is your soul. And we talk about souls a lot. We say things like, you know, he's my soulmate, or, you know, I think I met my soulmate. What do you mean by that? You mean that you met someone who thinks like you do, someone who feels as you do about things, maybe someone who shares the same sense of humor as you do. How many of you know Todd and Jane from this church? Todd and Jane are not here this weekend. I miss them so much. The next time you see Todd and Jane at church, just look at them. They are soulmates, okay? They are the nicest, quirkiest, most generous people. You know, they think alike. He likes movies and she likes movies. She always wants to remind people to recycle, and then he just stands there looking at her like, she's so brilliant, isn't she? And I'm looking like, sister, what? And he just loves her. They're connected. They're soulmates. But they're not the same person. They each have a distinct mind, will, and emotions. They're one flesh through marriage, but they were two distinct people first. And that's why it's so confusing when you meet people who are not Christians or they're just outright hostile to God, and you're like, but I love her. She's so great, you know? It's not that confusing. You like their soul. You like their intelligence. You like their humor. You like their conscience. They can be smart and funny and be a lot of other things, but it's the spirit that is going to make the difference in the long run. Same with animals. Do animals have a soul? Of course they do. Animals can feel. They have a will. They have people that they prefer and people that they don't. They love, they mourn, they think, they choose, but they're not like you and me because you are a spirit. You're not an animal. You did not come from a monkey. I am not saying that the entirety of evolution, just to be clear, is not real. Organisms do evolve. Dinosaurs are real. Jurassic Park was the best movie made in the 90s, period, point blank. I will fight you on this. But the Bible says that we were created and not created by accident either. And if that bothers you, me saying that, let me ask you, where were you when the stars sang? He made you. And it is time for us to examine where we resist the truth that is found in our Bibles. If you start asking yourself, where am I getting my thoughts from? It will surprise you. We have so many untruths running through our minds. It's hard to tell where one lie starts and another one ends. So back to your soul, mind, will, emotions. Now, I can contact your soul with words. I can say really nice things that make you feel great. I can say terrible, hurtful things that make you feel, you know, awful about yourself. But the word of God is how you contact your spirit. That's how you start to perceive spiritual truth. Before you got born again, you had no concept of spiritual things. You had no awareness of the Holy Spirit, no awareness of God's presence in you. It is the Word of God that makes you aware of the truth. Now, every person has the three parts that I just described, spirit, soul, and body, but not every person is the same. And that's because you have been born again. So what does that mean exactly? I really should have told you I was going to do this, but Sally and Barbara and Anka, can you come up here, please? Come on. All right. Come on. Yeah. Where's Barbara? Okay. Anka? You're going to be, you want to be the spirit? Okay. Stand there for me. Barbara, I'm going to make you the body. I'm going to have you stand right here. Sally is going to be the soul. Sally is my friend and my partner in a lot of things, so I don't feel badly about whipping her around, so just get ready. All right. So every person has these three parts. You just look right out there. You're just going to be my actors for me. All right, so spirit, soul, body. You with me? Now, the unsaved person has a spirit. But when you get born again, sorry, let me go back. Hey, have a spirit. But this spirit has not been activated. It's twice dead. It's a twice dead situation. No eternal life and no God life, because again, you need those two things. You need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you need a spiritual mind. But you, as a saved person, your spirit has been activated. So now you have this better, supercharged, invincible spirit sealed within your own spirit. You were wiser. Ooh. You were faster. You were more tenacious. You were more resilient than you would be on your own. Anka, make some sort of face like, yeah, exactly. Thank you. But when you became born again, nothing happened to these guys. We had 38 people get baptized. All 38 of those people had a miraculous transformation happen on the inside of the spirit. But, and this is a little controversial, nothing happened to the soul or to the body. The same body that liked smoking cigarettes before might still like cigarettes now. The soul that might have been critical or couldn't control its anger might still be the same way. You know why we don't just baptize people and then turn them loose? You know why we keep saying, you got to come to church, you got to read the Bible, you got to get in community group? Because there's more work to be done on these two. The spirit is perfect, but you got to get your... Thank you. I knew you were the right one. You got to get your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, your conscience, and your body in line with your spirit. What you have to realize is that your entire life prior to you becoming born again, these two were in control. Your spirit was not active before. These two, man, they used to whip this guy around like he was a rag doll. They didn't pay him any attention at all. But the spirit is awake now. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit has wisdom. Your spirit has peace. Your spirit knows things that your mind doesn't know. Your spirit believes the word of God. And your job for the rest of your life is to get these two on board with your perfect, champion, victorious spirit. It's going to be challenging. The spirit will say, let's fast. Let's draw close to God. Let's let go of some things. Let's fast. The body says, absolutely not. We will starve. We will starve. I'm so hungry. The spirit says, we won't starve because we don't live by bread alone. Who's in the middle? Your mind. Your mind is in between these two. If your mind gets on board, if your mind goes to the Word of God and studies the importance and the benefits of fasting and why we do it and looks at Jesus as the example, if your mind gets on board with the Spirit, you're gonna fast. You're gonna fast. If your mind gets on board with the body, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I have a very busy week, you're not gonna fast. Your body says, I had to think about it for a moment because the children are here. Your body says, I really want to drink a glass of wine right now. There's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. Just go with this example. Your body says, I really, really, really just want a glass of wine right now. Your body, which is probably sending out all types of signals, pain in your back or tension headaches or a ball of tension in your stomach, instead of addressing what's really going on, your body is just sending you all of these signals. I really, 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 really want to just drink and just go to bed. And the spirit says, I think we need to get in our prayer closet just for 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. Again, who is in the middle? It is your soul that needs your attention this year. This is already handled. And the body in and of itself is not a bad thing. Again, without your body, you can't be here. Love it. Nourish it. Take care of it. But don't let it dominate what is happening with you anymore. These two are now under the control of this guy. This is the new chain of command. Your spirit will control your soul, which will control your body. Hold on. Now that you're born again, the goal is to get all of the stuff that's in your spirit and to get it to move from the inside to the outside, which means it's gonna have to pass through your soul, which is your mind. Your mind is the bridge. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. You tracking me? So this should come as a relief to you. Do you know how many people I have heard say they're just tired of repeating the same behavior? Tired of getting into arguments with their kids, tired of getting into arguments with their parents, tired. I'm tired of being in the same place, and I don't know why I keep doing it over and over again. And you think to yourself, what is wrong with me? I got born again, I go to church, but it's not working. Yes, it is. It is working. You're not less saved than the person sitting next to you. You are just blinded by the lies of the enemy. You're still living as though that powerful spirit on the inside of you doesn't exist. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're not under the control of your carnal nature anymore. You, the spirit, are in charge now. So take authority. And Jesus is not surprised by any of this. He's sitting there and he's watching them. And he said, man, the spirit is so willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I beat my body to keep it under control. I beat my body. Well, that doesn't make sense if you're the body. I, the spirit, I beat my body and I keep it in control. Your soul and your body are going to give you the fight of your life. So you have to renew your mind. Part three, how do we renew the mind? Okay, let's look at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Therefore, brothers and sisters, whenever Paul drops therefore, pay special attention to that when you read the Bible. Because therefore is an indication that he's going off of everything that came before that. And the first 11 chapters of Romans is all a case just building a foundation for what Jesus has already done for us. All that stuff I went over in part one. So he's saying, in light of everything that came before, in light of everything that Jesus has done for you, please do the following. He says, present your bodies, for this is your spiritual worship. The Amplified Bible, that section, defines it as your rational, logical, intelligent worship. Well, if someone died for you, what is your rational, logical, intelligent response? Showing up to the retreat? That's a rational, logical, intelligent response in light of everything that Christ did and everything that's been happening in our church lately? Rational. Getting prayer at the end of service, that's a rational, logical response. That is the least you can do. And then Paul goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which the Amplified Bible calls focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. And I love this so much. The Bible is so rich, it's so intentional, it's so perfect. And this passage is a great example of just how specific it is. So Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Conformed versus transformed. Conformed, outside pressure. Do not be shrunken down, broken, influenced, changed by what's happening on the outside. Do not be conformed to what other people think or what's trending or what our culture says or what's popular, but instead be transformed. Metamorphosis in the Greek, have an inner transformation that leads to a permanent outer change. Failing to do any of this, renewing the mind, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven, but it does mean that you are going to remain carnally minded. And Romans 8:6 says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There we are, right back to life and peace again, right back to Zoe. The carnally minded person, the person who just gets born again and then doesn't take it a step further, that person is still under the control of their natural impulses versus letting the Word of God direct their thought life. The spiritually minded person lets their impulses, their surmisings, their deductions, and their conclusions be directed, prompted, controlled, and directed by the Word of God. It's about refocusing on the things that God cares about, exchanging our thoughts for His thoughts. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They're higher. Kara touched on this just a little bit in her last sermon. She said that what she wanted to write in her sermon was different from what God wanted her to write. The way Ryan wants to run the church and the way God wants to run the church are two different things. The way that I handle conflict and the way that God would handle conflict are two different things. But the question is, at the end of the day, whose thoughts are going to win out in the end? He says if I take His thoughts, it's going to create an inner transformation that will lead to abundant life. You're already born again. You're suited and booted. Now what you need are orders and borders. Black people love to rhyme. We love to rhyme. I don't know why that is. It's a gift. It's a gift. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, these things I'm saying to you, dude, you couldn't even receive it at the beginning. You were a spiritual baby. You couldn't receive what I was saying. And even now, there's some of you that still can't receive it because of where you are. Do you see what he's talking about now? He's talking about you can be saved and still have an unrenewed mind and be unable to bear what your teacher is saying, unable to bear what Marcy and Logan and Kara and Ryan are saying to you. And Paul is so eager for us to develop the spiritual mind, value the Word of God, and recognize its ability to change our lives. Really quickly, there's a difference between a renewed mind and a religious mind. A person that's spiritually minded, that's a person that accepts that there's still more to learn. Spiritually minded people can be taught. Religious minds want a lecture, and they don't produce fruit. I've been saved for 23 years, and I went to seminary school. Yeah, but you're mean. And nobody wants to be around you. Don't quote Paul's exhortations and all 600 laws and then fail to be gracious to the person sitting next to you. Don't major on the minors and minor on the majors. Because church is not about coming here to see who's getting it right and who can learn the most facts and who can be right. It is about sitting underneath the waterfall of God's word and letting it transform you over time from a jagged rock into a smooth pebble. We get spirit indwelt by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We get soul transformed by the word of God renewing our minds. And we get abundant life when we have both.